Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this meeting of the Inner West Local Planning Panel. I acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation, on whose country we are meeting today, and their elders past and present. You will see, ladies and gentlemen, that the Independent Planning Panel comprises four individuals. I am the chairman. My name is Angus Talbot, and I've been a lawyer for most of the time that I've occupied my professional life, including 15 years as a judge of the Land and Environment Court. And as I said, I'll be chairing the panel meeting. I will ask each of the individual chairs to introduce themselves and declare whether they have any conflicts of interest, and so that you can shortly understand just what their qualifications are for being on this panel. And I formally declare that I have no conflict of interest that I've been able to perceive. Mrs. Taylor.
Mary Lynn Taylor, planning lawyer and chair of a number of these planning panels in other areas. I have no declaration of interest to make in this meeting today.
Thank you.
That was me.
Oh, that's better. That's better. I was pressing the wrong button. My name's David Johnson. I'm an environmental scientist and have been a professional environmental scientist and consulting for most of my career. I've also been, for 6 years, a member of the Planning Assessment Commission in New South Wales, previously an acting commissioner in the Land and Environment Court, and I'm also an expert panel member on two other local planning panels, and I can declare that I have no conflicts of interest.
My name is Ken Hawke. I'm the community member on the panel. I've lived in the Inner West area for over 40 years, and I've worked in local government planning for a similar time. I have no conflicts of interest with the agenda items today.
And each speaker is allowed 3 minutes. That is something that we try and control in the interests of A, causing people to get to the point, and secondly, to allow others to have adequate time to deal with other matters. So proceeding on that basis, after the submissions have been made, in each case, and questions have been dealt with, the panel will attempt to make its decision on the spot, as it's required to do under the terms of reference from the council. If that's not possible, it may be necessary to retire for either a short time or some other time in order to come to a final conclusion. Hopefully we'll be able to do it on the spot. And the first speaker that I asked to come forward, and the first item on the program, is in relation to 22 Excelsior Parade, Marrickville, and I invite Michael O'Rourke to come forward. Thank you, Mr. O'Rourke. We visited your property this morning and you showed us the various aspects that concern you, and we'd now like to hear from you.
Thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate everyone coming past this morning. I have, and thank you for the committee and the action, requesting the action items from last meeting. I think they certainly helped justify our position. We've three main objections. We had 15 in total. We objected to the building height, primarily for the light through the western skylight, which you would have seen coming down those stairs. That said, I think the requested change is 30 centimetres, so maybe we're at a loss, whatever the case there. We objected to the building setback, to the rear boundary, and also the unsympathetic nature of the building to the surrounding areas and resulting loss of privacy from the overlooking, not only from the top level through our skylight into our bathrooms and bedrooms, but also and specifically into the rear yard. As you would have noted from the updated RLs, it's close to 10 metres from that rear yard, and it's quite close to the boundary and also that yard. And the dominance of the building from that perspective for us is, you know, we feel that as a family it's going to be incredibly intimidating. That was our main objection in regards to the rear setback change. The final objection, and it wasn't covered in the councillor's report, was just in regards to some of the balconies. There's no fixed privacy screening, especially on the top level for number 22, and we feel that that potential to overlook into our bathrooms and so on is not addressed. But certainly there's been significant items in terms of the privacy addressed overall, and we certainly thank Dean the architect and the council for working on those. I think that probably is it for me. Thank you. Correct, yes. Thanks very much for your time.
Okay. Sorry for that. So just briefly, we've got an existing DA, and the Section 96 was to raise the building by 230 millimetres, an extension to the top level of 800 millimetres, and the ground floor, 1 metre exactly. The building is well below the maximum height limit. There is no change to streetscape or visual impact from the street. There is minimal impact from the rear laneway. Essentially, the rear setback reduces from 19.7 metres to 18.7 metres, which is, I think, a normal person would struggle to tell the difference standing in the rear lane where, you know, with a 1 metre difference. I guess the adjoining property, which is not mentioned, which is number 24 on the other side, their rear setback is 17.5 metres, which is another 1.2 metres further forward or further back from where we are proposing to be. Number 26, which is the next property up, they finished their renovations 5 or 6 years ago, and number 24 was used, again, as reference for the rear setback. So, you know, in our mind, that is essentially council's rear setback line. I should also point out that the lower level of number 20, which is in dispute of our proposal, actually extends another 3 metres beyond our building line, and their covered pergola is 6 metres beyond our covered... their rear covered pergola is 6 metres beyond our building line, essentially. So that their rear setback, essentially, which is the distance between the boundary and the first building form at the lower level, is actually a lot less than what we're proposing. Obviously, our building form is very different. We can lever over our lower floor, whereas their building steps back. But that's just the nature of you know, the building that we're proposing. The increased FSA is mainly attributed to the conversion of the undercroft area to a guest bedroom and essentially a laundry area. It's the increased FSA due to the minimal extension, the 1 metre and the 800 is minimal compared to the percentage of actual increase. So it's already covered within the original building envelope. The draft new DCP recommending the increase to 0.6:1. We will judge at 0.5:1, whereas the draft essentially is pushing for a 0.6:1 ratio. And in saying that, because our property is just over 400 square metres, we dropped to 0.5. If our property was at 400 square metres, we'd be entitled to more FSR. Sorry, is that my 3-minute mark? Or?
Yes.
Okay, not a problem. So I guess, look, arguments that number 20 are putting forward are covered. There's no privacy issues. There's no overshadowing issues. So, you know, I think the arguments put forward, there's no loss of amenity or privacy or changes to their lifestyle. Unfortunately, council, we feel, has taken a precautionary approach in this assessment in trying to please the neighbours. I hope the panel can judge our proposal on its merit with common sense and fairness, putting aside, you know, what the neighbours are putting forward.
I do, actually. Johnson. In fact, my question really is more for Mr. O'Rourke, probably. I can't see where you said that there would be potentially views into your bathrooms through the skylights. Can you just perhaps elaborate on that, or if you've got any comment, Mr.
No,
Angelopoulos?
Cool. So from our ground floor, yeah. From our ground floor, all we look at is a two-storey brick wall, so there's no windows.
Yes,
from the upper level, all that glazing is essentially frosted or opaque, so there was obviously a concern. So all that glazing essentially is frosted, so I don't see where the issue is.
I didn't see that either, but could I perhaps ask Mr. O'Rourke just to come forward and perhaps just briefly elaborate on your comment to that effect?
G'day, George. Just find the page that I'm referring to on the plan. Okay. So I'm looking at the top view of the.
You need to turn the mic on. We can't hear you.
Excuse me. Is that?
Have you got a red light?
Yes. It's working now.
So if you're looking from the sky down, there's a top view of the third story?
Yep.
Top story. And you can...
The upper level. Yep.
And you can see there's a proposed planter box and balcony area that wraps around, and that is our main concern, that literally being able to walk through there, and that's the roof height's 4 metres above our skylight, and that our skylight is roughly halfway through their lower level, so it's a couple of metres below that point. And so I'm suggesting it would be quite easy to walk around there and stare straight into our bathroom, which is the door just above the stairs as you go up to the studio level that you all visited.
Thank you for that.
Can I just respond
Mr.
to that?
Angelopoulos,
yes.
Mr. Angelopoulos, have you got something to say in response to that?
Yeah, definitely. So I guess with that aspect, there's been no change, I guess, in concept, that we always had that area. The gap between the... that gap to actually crawl around is actually only 200 millimetres, so you'd really have to squeeze through. It's not really habitable, or it's not accessible space, but we'd be more than happy to put a glass screen there if that was the only concern, to close off and make sure that no one can actually walk around there. That's to me, that's not an issue. We'd be more than happy to adopt a glass wall there or some sort of screen there to stop people accessing that area.
So you're talking about a screen to stop people walking along that narrow parapet area.
If that was a concern, we could definitely adapt something.
Alternatively, perhaps a screen along the edge.
Or I'm happy to have the screen further in because there was no intention for anyone to go that close to the edge. So if I can point out where I'm talking.
So no one can go around there.
Yeah. So can I show you where I mean?
No, we've worked it out.
Oh, okay.
I think I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Just on one of those narrow sections. Just
putting
the screen.
So just to stop.
To stop access.
Exactly. Yeah. I would have no qualms about that being a condition.
Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Hawke, have you got any questions?
No. Anything further about that screening?
You're
happy now?
Marilyn, do you think that?
Yep.
And we'll cut off the walking?
Yes.
Yeah, fine. Ken, you happy with that, cutting it off?
Signed to the satisfaction of council's town plan or something.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, well, it'll be a
satisfaction.
All right. Look, I think
Mr. Johnson, I'll ask Mr. Johnson to bring together the panel's thoughts on the matter.
Look, we are effectively happy with the proposal as it is, your amended proposal. There is a suggestion for a modification to what was condition 14, a minor one relating to the fixed and frosted glazing on the windows. Condition number 14, which is a minor change. The council recommendation to insert condition 14A, restricting the extension of the rear of the property to what was previously approved, we are deleting 14A, so that's not to be incorporated. But we will add a small condition to require some sort of screen to prevent access to that upper parapet area, to prevent the loss of any potential loss of privacy to number 20 through the skylight windows there. So do we want to try and draft a condition now?
We can direct that there be a condition.
Yeah.
Which prevents access to
the upper parapet level, perhaps, of
we can draft that up subsequently, but here is there.
And insert a condition to screen
the upper parapet.
To insert a screen to prevent access to the upper parapet area on the first floor level to avoid overlooking.
What's the screen to be comprised of? Glass?
Yes, right. The screen to be designed to the satisfaction of council's planner to avoid potential overlooking of the to the interior of number 20. Yep. I think that covers it. The detail can be sorted out.
Shape, but the idea is that there'll be no access across that area.
Yeah. That was the intent, so. No, I'm accepting that, but it's a concern of Mr. O'Rourke's. I think if we can address that to both the satisfaction of both parties, that's probably a good thing. I think
so the panel therefore unanimously approves the development. So you might be able to hear me, I can't hear you.
I'm the owner of 61 Johnston Street.
Johnston Street?
Yes, yeah. So there was an adjoining wall which was being pushed over by that tree.
Yeah.
And we're reinstating that wall. I'm just pointing to the conditions, which are all fine, but there was no condition relating to replanting for the reasons stated in the report.
Well, I think that the report indicated that the situation on the site didn't require any replacement, as the existing vegetation at that area was sufficient to cover for the removal of the vegetation.
Yes, I just wanted to clarify, because you said subject to condition.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying that's fine.
All right, thank you very much for raising it. But at page 81, it's anticipated, and the panel agrees that the immediate loss of canopy cover will be replenished by the canopies of adjoining trees within a reasonable time frame, and we accepted that recommendation. Thank you.
And the conditions of consent in the report.
Yeah, we've adopted the conditions. Dealing now with number 64, the development proposed at 64 Cavendish Street, Stanmore, and the first person that I will be asking to speak. Where's Mr. Little? Oh, yes, Mr. Little, you're speaking on behalf of somebody else and raising an objection, is that right?
My name's Marie Dolofsky and I'm speaking on behalf of the
Yeah, 62.
Yeah,
you're not registered. We're not, you haven't got your... Well, you're not in our system.
Well, I was waiting but 4 hours this morning for the site visit. I was informed by... So there has been no site visit.
There has been a site visit. I can assure you there was a site visit. Can you just address the panel? There was a site visit.
No, not to number 62.
No.
Which was the site next door to number 64.
Yeah, we went... Well, we have no record of it, so we can apologise however that happened.
You two have requested somebody else to speak on their behalf.
This is me.
Julian
Little.
Ah,
this is
on.
They've requested Julian. Oh, sorry. No, that's 66.
No, well, I don't have any record of 62, but in order to avoid any argument, I'm happy to hear you. Well, can you...
That person who's overseas has been in touch with council and didn't request a site visit. They were in touch at the end of last week.
No, I'm sorry. They've been on the phone to council today.
Oh, that's a bit late. That's why it's never happened. Look, can you get on with your submission? I'm inviting you to deal with this. Could you please deal with it? Thank you very much.
Yes.
Yes, you press the button. You do need a microphone.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I'm speaking on behalf of the people in number 62. And the first point, the first objection they have is in terms of overshadowing in relation to number 64's proposed rear roof extension, which will extend to at least halfway across the dining, living room, workroom window that is closest to their kitchen. There's only one other window in that room and it doesn't get much light, and so the proposed roof extension and the blocking of light to the other dining room window is a very significant issue for them. They reject the description that it will be negligible additional shadow to the affected windows between 12 and 3, and they note that no data has been provided to back that claim. And they ask, how can a roof extension extending halfway across the window in question not restrict light to the room? They also correct the description of that room as a kitchen dining room and point out that it is a dining room, living room, work room where professional work is done during the day and it requires the light. sorry, I'll continue. They also point out that on their second floor, existing since 1870, does not directly overlook number 64's rear yard, as was asserted in the proposal. Moving on to another objection, which is to the new side courtyard wall between the two properties. They state that the proposal to knock down the side wall in the courtyard and build a new higher wall is problematic, and they reject it on height issues, as they note council does. They have great concern about the overshadowing of their rear courtyard. They also believe that it's their understanding that there should be agreement with them for number 64 to proceed with the demolition of the wall, but no agreement exists, of course, for that. And they also point out that they cannot see into the rear yard of number 64 from the courtyard of number 62. So the argument that that wall is required for privacy reasons doesn't sit well with them. They have further objections to the planter boxes, which are proposed for the higher rear wall. Privacy issues are cited relating to the properties across Cavendish Lane, which overlook both houses. Council objects to those boxes on heritage issues, and they do. And they also want to point out that actually... Is that my time?
Yeah.
Okay. They also want to point out that, of course, both properties are overlooked by windows from across the lane anyway, so in terms of privacy, the higher windows in those houses opposite those two-storey houses.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm sorry, it may be my fault, but I did not record your name and the record doesn't record it.
I'm anonymous.
Yes, no. you're doing a lot of disappearing today. Can you now appear and tell us who you are? Thank you.
So my name is Marie, M-A-R-E-E, surname Delofsky, D-E-L-O-F for Fred, S for Susan, K-I.
Thank you, Ms. Delofsky. Before you go, any questions?
Yes, Ms. Delofsky, I just didn't understand, and could you go back to the beginning where you said there was a concern about... a deletion of light into certain rooms in the property.
Yeah, that was the great pity of not being properly in the mix. The room that will be affected by the proposed extension of the roof line has two windows, one of which gets barely any light anyway, and the other one is the one that will be now affected by the new... The proposed roof. And that room is a room that is used all the time for a multi-purpose room, dining room, lounge room and work room. So it is a big thing if the light is diminished even further into that room.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnson. All right, Mr. Hawke. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You got there.
Yes.
Julian Little. Is Julian Little here? No. All right, then we move to John Candace and perhaps Tammy Candace as well. Is that a joint effort, I take it?
Yes.
All right, come forward, please.
Thank you for your time this morning when you came over to our residence. This is our third attempt with council for this request for our rear garage and covered barbecue area as such. We have made various changes and listened to council over the course of our three submissions, and this is our final submission. And the points that we have put forward against certain objections. The garage is what we're looking at putting there and lowering, obviously, our back courtyard area to make a usable area for all seasons, summer and winter as such. At the moment, we rarely use it in summer because it gets too hot. There's no covered area. And in winter, it's raining. So we want to make it a more usable area as such. With reference to, privacy, we have both properties at number 62 and number 66 have got windows facing directly to the side of their house, directly into our backyard, so we have minimal privacy through those windows, and we want to try and create some privacy through the covered areas as such of the covered barbecue awnings as such. With reference to the comment that was made earlier on regarding the 1.8 extension on our roof line, that is actually being designed to go just before the window at number 62. It does not cross that window at all. We purposely ensured that we did not cover that window, so that window is not going to be covered. So we understand that there is an overshadowing, that there was going to be a concern there if we went further past the window, and that's why we restricted that and made sure that we didn't cover that window at all. But we do have all these windows that look directly into our property, and I guess under Section 97C, we are disadvantaged in the sense that all the properties around us are two-storey and have windows that look directly into our backyard, and we unfortunately are the single-storey dwelling where we're trying to create some sort of privacy. For our family. For 2 years we had no screening in our backyard, where we initially told our neighbours at number 62 that we were going to put some screening up to give ourselves privacy, and we never put anything up. And recently, in the last 12 months, we did put a temporary screen there until some of our plants grow, and we actually got a phone call from our neighbour and verbally abused us to the point where I cannot mention the words that they told us, because they wanted to be able to look through their windows into our backyard and onto the greenery and not interrupt any of their visible view. We cannot use our backyard because they do look directly into our backyard, and we want to try and create some sort of privacy there. You want to mention?
Also, the level of the backyard is so high that we can't access our bins out to the lane, and it's about a metre drop down to take the bins out. I'm usually on my own when my husband travels. I cannot physically take the bin out without...
Oh, this is not a problem with him not taking the bins out.
No, it's the level. No. It's the level. I can't get the bins out. I can't wheel it on down a metre step on my own. So the access point of taking the bins out is quite dangerous, actually.
My wife did fall once whilst I was interstate with work, trying to take those bins out, and she did fall into the lane. It was raining that night, so it is a great concern for us, the level of... obviously, the property has been filled at some stage.
Yeah, you saw.
Yes.
Did you? Yeah,
yes.
It's quite high.
Our architect didn't see that it was required because it was a negligible effect based on the orientation of the houses and the...
So you had advice about it?
Yeah.
Yes, we did, yes.
Secondly, I think during the site visit, Mr. Candice, you indicated that you weren't really fussed if the walls were no higher than they are now.
Correct, yes. We're fine to go with that height. With reference to the parting wall fence between the two properties, that has been built incorrectly, and it is actually in our property, and we want to obviously happy to build it at the same level.
We're talking about its height, not its location at the moment.
Okay.
And that's what you indicated to us this morning, I think.
Correct. Correct. Happy to rebuild it to the same height. I'm fine to take them out. The new garage is going to be 200 mils built away from currently is actually adjoining onto that building. We actually are going to build with an easement space of approximately 200 mil gap between those two properties. So definitely there will not be in its current position.
We thought it was 150, but you say it's 200?
I'm pretty sure it's 200 mil in our plans. Yes, it is 150 on the plans. If the panel would require that to be at 200, I'm happy to do it at 200. That's not a problem. No, we've purposely ensured that the column that we are going to build is going to be just before that window, before that window starts.
We're retiring, so we can discuss that.
Thank you.
Any further questions? No?
No, I don't think so.
The panel's reflected upon the excuse me, issue that was raised in relation to dwelling number 62. have observed that the window itself that's been under discussion is on a boundary, and indeed it's been necessary to put in louvers and other protection in order to avoid overlooking. So we're the panel's satisfied that that objection is not justified in the circumstances. However, the panel is of the opinion that the wall heights are an issue, and the applicant has agreed to maintaining present wall heights, and so to that extent the panel will require that existing wall heights, not existing walls, but the heights along the side and rear boundaries are to be maintained. So that'll require a condition to see that that occurs, and our understanding is that that would cover what has been objections in relation to those boundary walls. Furthermore, the planter box that purports to provide privacy for the proposed lower courtyard at the rear is in a juxtaposition with the adjoining property, where the panel believes that it actually would provide no real benefit having regard to the distance involved. And so accordingly, and also accepting that the applicant agrees to this, the planter box should not be part of the approved on the rear boundary, should not be part of the approved plans, and accordingly deleted. When we were at the property, which is number 66, issues were raised in relation to the drainage from off-site at various in one particular point. In that respect, the panel considers that condition 33, which deals with drainage off-site, should adequately provide to protect that concern of the owner of number, or the occupants of number 66. We've taken into account the observations made during the site visit at number 66 regarding the garage and, as I mentioned, the drainage, and the panel is satisfied that if the separation between the new garage wall and the existing outbuilding on the adjacent property, number 66, is increased to 200, as is suggested by the applicant during the panel meeting, notwithstanding that the plans clearly show it to be 150, 200 should indeed assist with the separation of those two buildings and concerns about rising damp and so on. Then the question of the change to a bathroom window, the panel is inclined not to improve, not to approve the change to the bathroom window, but instead will allow it to be reduced by removing the lower pane and infilling with brick and tile to match the existing. At least that retains some important elements in relation to the significance of that window in design terms relating to heritage. Otherwise, the panel is satisfied that the application should be approved, subject to the amendment to the conditions that have been foreshadowed by the observations that I've just made on behalf of the panel, and that the conclusion and recommendation made by the officers in the report should be adopted conditionally on those matters being dealt with as additional conditions or amendment to the conditions. That covered it, everybody?
Yes, thank you.
We move now on to item number four. Item number four relates to a property at 104 Trafalgar Street, Annandale. And there is one person listed to speak in that respect, and that person is Kristen Johnson.
Can I just ask, would I be getting any amended documentation from the council stating?
Yes, you will. You'll be getting a notice of determination, okay, which incorporates the amendments which the panel just indicated to you.
Thank you very much.
And that will be published on the website tomorrow.
Great, thank you.
Or as near as possible to tomorrow. Kristen Johnson?
My manor is 41 Trafalgar Street.
Yes, that's your address, but the development is 104, isn't it?
No, separate items.
Oh. Oh, I see.
104 Trafalgar Street. I don't think we have any.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
No, item number four lists Kristen Johnson from 41 Trafalgar in respect of 104 Trafalgar. Now, that's obviously not right.
That's incorrect.
Yeah. I've got the big A3 list and reading from it. Don't worry. So someone will just deal with this administratively. Kristen Johnson. Is there anyone here to make a submission in respect of 104 Trafalgar? No? All right, the panel will now...
New list.
A new list. Kristen Johnson.
But it's incorrect.
Yeah, that's the one we've got. Thank you. It's
longer.
What?
Longer.
No, it's bigger.
Johnson's from 41 on this one. Yes.
Yeah, but that's the address of the objector. 104 Trafalgar. Let's not argue about it. There's no one here anyway.
He has not objected to this. Well, I'm quite frustrated.
You did?
No, there's no objection.
No, there's no objection. We'll now proceed. Panel, we're in a position to deal with that. And I'll ask Mr. Hawkes. Hawke.
This application is for a review of the determination of an application for alterations and additions to a dwelling and garage studio. The original application was refused by a planning panel in March of this year. The original application was non-compliant in floor space ratio and was not supported. Several amendments have now been made by the applicant, including a reduction in floor space ratio and the deletion of a proposed front dormer window. The panel inspected the premises today and spoke with the owner. The owner on site raised concerns regarding a proposed condition requiring traditional materials to be used for a door and window. The panel has noted that both of these openings are internal and has agreed to this condition being deleted. In its new form, the panel supports the clause 4.6 submission regarding a reduced non-compliant floor space ratio, and the amended proposal is considered suitable for approval, subject to the imposition of conditions, and the panel adopts the recommendation outlined on page 153 of the agenda, accepts the clause 4.6 request, and approves the application subject to conditions excluding number 6. Thank you.
We've finally overcome the paperwork and you're here, Johnson. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Edwinville was built in 1889 by the Sheriffs, a family of Scottish stonemasons, stone carvers, and sculptors. The architect was George Allen Mansfield. The house features in Morton Herman's book, The Architecture of Victorian Sydney. In this book, there is a photo of Edwinville taken in the 1950s, showing no tree in front of the house and a modern brick fence. The house remained in the Sheriff family until my husband and I bought it in 1973. Since then, extensive repairs and renovation have been undertaken. Of particular relevance, the landscape setting has been considerably upgraded, with multiple plantings of trees, which have matured over the ensuing 44 years. I commissioned a report dated the 4th of June from TKD Architects. Unfortunately, I was not permitted to submit this report, but I would like to read its summary, and I quote, "The application for the removal of two trees that were not planted with any long-term heritage aims is made so that a locally listed and fine item of built heritage is protected and enhanced for the long term. The replacement trees, as noted in the landscape statement,
I think we've got a copy of it.
Frame and complement the fine architectural features of the house and ensure there is a longer term view of the landscape setting of Edwinville." End quote. I refer the panel to the content of the submitted report from Taylor Brammer Landscape Architects. This report highlights the number of mature trees in the rear garden and is of the opinion that the urban tree canopy of the property is more than met. I would also like the panel to note that there is already evidence of damage to the front slate tiling and the heritage-consistent sandstone front fence which now exists. A heavy branch of the tree now abuts the top of the wrought iron decoration on the fence, and the mortar between the sandstone blocks is cracking in the vicinity of the tree. I submit that the remediation plan for the front of the house, suggested in the Council Arborist's report, is not a satisfactory long-term solution to the current and continuing risk of damage to the fabric of the front paving, the fence, and even potentially the house. More importantly, it does not address the heritage issues at all. It is my intention, if permission is given, to remove the two trees, to replace them with suitable specimens as recommended by the landscape architect, and in keeping with the heritage values of Edwinville.
Thank you.
I have bought copies of the Taylor Brammer Landscape Architects report, unless you have them.
The 4th of June letter.
Yes, Taylor Brammer.
Yes, we have. Thank you.
Thank you.
By D. Matthew
Taylor. That's it, yes.
A report on the health of the trees, and we have no such document. Indeed, we have a report in front of us from the council saying there is nothing wrong with the health of the trees. Nevertheless, we've been to the site and we understand by this late report from Mr. Taylor that there is a heritage impact, in his opinion, that can be overcome by the removal of the front tree. We also noted that the front tree has a very heavy branch hanging over the footpath. And it's also, according to you, and it's not disputed, that there is some damage from that front tree. As a result, we have before us now, belatedly, enough information to make a decision on the front tree. And in that, I think we'll probably be able to agree that that is a tree that could be removed and replaced with the sort of planting that has been suggested by Mr. Brammer. Mr. Taylor, I'm sorry. No relation, of course. In relation to the tree at the rear, we have no information other than from the council that it is a fine species. It has no reason for it to be removed, and so we'll find no reason to remove it. So in that regard, that's where we are on that. We have read the report from Mr. Taylor and understand the heritage implication. You are saying this is a reason for removal of the front tree.
Can I just make a comment about the second tree? I understand what you're saying, and that the tree is healthy, but as you observe, that tree is grown almost totally over the neighbour's property.
I don't think that's a relevant matter to the removal of trees. Trees do not trespass. Thank you.
There needs to be some ground. I'll check it. The panel is happy to go along with your determination. I'll ask Mrs. Taylor to indicate the final decision to be made by the panel.
Okay. The panel unanimously agrees that the front tree may be removed for the reasons outlined in the report by Taylor Brammer, and replaced by, I think, a hedging, a euonymus, I'm not sure how to pronounce the euonymus, hedging as an appropriate replacement for that particular tree, and there will be conditions to that effect. The panel also unanimously refuses to the removal of the tree in the rear garden for the same reasons given in the council town planning report.
Thank you. Moving on to item number 6. Consulting my list, which is more damaged. This relates to the development proposed at 86 Terry Street, Roselle, and the person listed to speak is Rod Adams from 84 Terry Street, Roselle. Thank you, Mr. Adams.
Hopefully you can hear me now. Regarding to this is a further change in plan with 86 Terry Street. My concerns are now with the issues of creating a whole subfloor level, which will involve major excavation. Now, the excavation does not relate to the topography of the area. As you saw, it's a gently sloping block. It will cause adverse impact to the land stabilisation and ground water flows. And most distressing is it's going to be a major structural risk to my property as well as to the other property at 88 Terry Street. Both properties were built circa 1900, as far as I know, and you obviously saw today. So I'm concerned about the foundations, and they are all built on sandstone. Now, with the, I know the previous plans, the owners wanted to go up, which is probably understandable, but now they're deciding to go down, which is very distressful. I think we can obviously see that the whole sub-level floor is too large and extensive for what is quite a narrow block. It exceeds in reasonable volume as it encompasses the whole width of the block. It's flush to the boundary of my property and 88 Terry Street. As you note from the plans, the excavated basement walls of the new subfloor level are flush with the boundary, as I mentioned, and I'm concerned it doesn't actually adhere to appropriate structural setback regulations. As we can see from the plans, the alterations are non-compatible with existing streetscape and the heritage ambient and issues of the area. I'm also concerned with the light and sort of sanitary compartments of the dwelling, whether that sub-level will have access to natural light, which as far as I can see, it can't. And obviously the issues of natural ventilation and light wells, which is, I believe, it's regulations with councils Sydney-wide. I also would like to request or almost demand a new dilapidation survey and report to be done with this, as there was one done from the previous owner about 7-8 years ago when I just moved in, and that was after extensive storms and damage, and I've spent an extreme amount of money repairing that, so I would request that to be done, because it was actually taken at that time I was in hospital and when my mother was there, and so it was obviously in its worst condition. So yeah, I hope we can rectify this. And as I said, I wish all the best for the you know, my neighbours at 86 Terry Street, and hope they get something beautiful, but hopefully that's something that's relevant to the area and it's sensible planning.
And also the adjoining property to his own. And are there any observations that you want to make, Mr.? Any questions? Any questions, Mr.?
No.
Any questions?
No.
Yes, well, we've been to the site and we've seen the reports, and I'll ask Mr. Hawke to indicate the outcome of the application in accordance with the decision of the panel. Thank you, Mr. Hawke.
This is a review of a refused modification to undertake numerous internal and external works, including new excavations to create an additional level, altered roof form, new stair access, and tree removal. The panel inspected the premises externally this morning and visited the homes of two objectors.
And I might add, we were not permitted to enter the subject site. Sorry, Mr. Hall.
That's okay. The council officers have made an assessment of the application, including that a modification is required to be substantially the same development as the development for which the consent was originally granted, and before that consent as originally granted was modified. The council officers believe the modification is not substantially the same as the original. The panel does not agree with this. However, notwithstanding this, the panel unanimously agrees that there were substantial concerns with the application and the likely environmental impacts that would be created by any approval. The panel unanimously adopts the recommendation on page 258, refusing the application, subject to the deletion of reason one of that recommendation.
Thank you. Moving now on to item number 7. Thank you for your assistance, Mr. Adams. Well disguised. I know. Item 7 deals with the Empire Hotel at 103 Capital A Parramatta Road, Annandale. There are three persons listed to speak, two on behalf of the applicant and the applicant himself. What order do you want to do it in? Mr. Armstrong first.
Mr. Chair, with
Mr. Perica.
Perica.
You want to speak for all?
Yeah, we're actually quite happy to just take questions from the panel.
Are you? All right. Well, there will be some questions. I'll just... Mr. Hawkes, are you...
No, I was telling them to use the mic.
Oh, right. You're right for questions.
Sorry about that.
Mary Lynn wants to go through the plan of management.
Yes,
but you're right.
No, I don't have any questions.
Mrs. Taylor wants to clarify some issues with you and... it might be helpful if you had Mr. Armstrong with you.
Yep, Mr. Armstrong, the architect's joining us too, Natalie Ramore.
Thank you, and Natalie Ramore also. Thank you. Mrs. Taylor.
Thank you. Mr. Perica, as you know, we were present at the site today, and I wondered if you had any comments on the conditions proposed by the council.
Thanks for the question. Look, I think it's fair to say the owner would have preferred, you know, to have the Wednesday trading and to perhaps have a longer trial, but we understand the rationale and the compromise council staff have sought to achieve. So I think it's fair to categorise the applicant and owner's position to be satisfied with the recommendation. Would have preferred some other things, but understand...
A reasonable compromise.
Yes.
Thank you.
I wanted then to just talk to you about the plan of management.
Yes.
First of all, if you're going to have a trial period till 3 a.m, what's the situation with food?
Well, food legally has to be sold up until close.
Can you bring the microphone to your mouth? Thank you.
As far as licensing goes, with its state government, you have to supply food up until closing, half an hour before closing.